Oh, it seems like it was just up here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We are going to be in Luke 2 for the Christmas season. And our theme is, All I Want for Christmas Is. Last week, we discovered that all we want for Christmas is joy, because that's what Jesus came to bring us. This week, we're going to talk about peace. We're going to talk about what the angels said to the shepherds. And so we're just going to read a couple verses this morning, Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. We started talking about this story last week. We'll kind of pick up from there. Here's the scene. The shepherds are out in the field. Suddenly an angel appears, declares to them what? Good news of great joy that shall be for all people. A Savior has been born, and this shall be a sign, he says. And then verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, what did we just sing? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. If you hadn't noticed, Christmas is kind of a stressful time of year for many people. It's a time where, you know, that obviously we celebrate the joy of Christ's birth, but for many people, this season is more about stress and distress, sadness and not gladness. The group Mental Health America did a survey to find out about the anxieties that people have during this time of year. And the results show that failing finances, missing a loved one, having too much to do were the things that people were most stressed about at this time of year. The NBC show Dateline conducted a scientific poll and found out that 41% of people were maxed out during December. They rated the stress of Christmas right up there with asking the boss for a raise. Why is Christmas so stressful? I think there's a lot of reasons. There's the financial cost of gifts. There's the busyness of events, the stress of big meals and family gatherings and making sure everything turns out perfectly, and the pain of the holidays without that special someone who passed away that previous year or the year before. Christmas carries with it many things that bring stress and concern. A few years ago, a naval chaplain drew up a worry table based on the problems brought to him by the men and women he served with. And their worries, he found, fit into five categories. Worries about things that never happened, 40%. Worries about decisions already made and not changeable, 30%. Worries about sickness that never came, 12%. Worries about children and friends forgetting they were able to help themselves, 10%. Worries about real problems, 8%. And his conclusion was that 92% of our worries are needless. Now, I don't know if that's the scientifically accurate conclusion, but I think he's on to something, isn't it? Because oftentimes we worry about a lot of stuff we really don't need to worry about. We stress about a lot of stuff we don't need to stress about. Sometimes I think we're all too often like the patient in the mental hospital with his ear pressed up against the wall, listening intently, and the attendant goes by the window and sees him doing this, and finally it's kind of like, okay, what's this guy doing? He goes in and he asks him, what are you doing? Shh, whispered the patient, and he beckons him over. So the attendant presses his ear to the wall for a long time. He says, I can't hear a thing. I know, it's been like that all day. But that's where we are sometimes, isn't it? You know, if we can't find something to worry about, we create something to worry about, you know? Oh yeah, let's find something to be stressed about. Now, I'll admit, Christmas can be a time of stress and anxiety. It's busy, too busy for many. It's potentially filled with all kinds of things we can worry about. And so it might be a little bit of a surprise for me to say that it doesn't have to be that way. Why do I say that? Because one of the things Jesus came to earth to give us is peace. The opposite of the anxiety and the stress and the worry that we all too often feel. Last week, we started a new Christmas series entitled All I Want for Christmas Is. And last week we talked about the angels announcing the good news of great joy to the shepherds. And we learned that one of the things that God gives us in Jesus is joy. The joy of salvation. This week, as we continue in Luke chapter 2, we want to continue talking about the angels and continue talking about the shepherds. But we have a different theme. Jesus did not just come to earth to bring us joy. He came to earth to bring us peace. And as we approach Christmas, are we interested in what Jesus came to bring? Are we so locked into the stressful situation, I got to make sure this meal comes off perfectly, or I get the perfect gift for somebody, or I make sure I show up to every Christmas party, or whatever it is. Are we so locked in to all of that stuff that we forget that Jesus came to bring us peace? He came to bring peace to us, a peace that takes on many forms and applies to many different areas of life. And so as we travel back to the first Christmas this morning, we want to see that in Jesus, God gives us the gift of peace. As we saw last week on that first Christmas night, there were shepherds in the fields keeping watch over their flocks. Suddenly an angel appeared to them announcing this great news, this good news of great joy. The joyous news, it says, was for all people. It was God's announcement of a Savior born that night in Bethlehem. And as we pick up the story in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible tells us that suddenly there was with the one angel a multitude of the heavenly host. All of a sudden, these shepherds are greeted not by one angel, but a host of angels. And what are these angels doing? They're praising God, worshiping God with the highest and deepest praise possible. After all, Jesus had been born, God's promised Savior, Christ the Lord was here. And the first thing they declare is glory to God, glory in the highest. All praise to God, all majesty, all glory belongs to God because he had sent salvation, because he had begun the work of redeeming his people, because his plan was wise and good. All glory was due to him. But the angels weren't just concerned with making sure that God received glory. They were also concerned with human beings like you and I. And while God's glory is being declared in the heavenly realms, what do they declare on earth? They declare that peace has come to those whom God's favor rests upon. Peace has come upon those whom God is pleased with. God's peace extends to human beings who are objects of God's pleasure. Peace comes to those who receive God's favor. This is almost a technical term for salvation, for those people who God had received and responded to God's salvation. Shepherds are prime examples of this. These men responded to the message of the angels. They went, they found the child, they told everyone who they came in contact with about God's salvation come to earth. They responded with their hearts and with their lives. God's favor rested upon them. The peace that God offers is wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus came to bring peace to the world. His sacrifice was sufficient to bring peace to everyone on this earth. But the only people that benefit from Jesus coming are those who respond, those who embrace him on the basis of faith. So what does it mean for Jesus to bring peace? All too often we limit our understanding of peace to nations. Well, peace is here when there's no war going on, which I don't think has happened in my lifetime if I look at the whole world, right? But you know what? A biblical understanding of peace is so much greater than that. Peace is a word that occurs 400 times in the Bible. It's a word that talks about wholeness and completeness. It's a state of mind. It's a state of being. It's a state of blessing as you're living in a relationship with God. It's about harmonious relationships between humans and between God and humans. It's one of the ultimate blessings in the Bible. You know, to have a life of peace is probably about as ultimate a blessing as you can get in the Scriptures. And all too often, we have no experience of that kind of peace in our lives. Some of you might be looking at that going, I don't know what that is. I have never had that in my life. It seems like our lives are much more about brokenness than completeness. Apart from Christ, our relationship with God is broken. Our families experience brokenness. We struggle with our own personal brokenness, with the brokenness of others around us. Many of the problems in our world stem from brokenness on a personal or on a national level. But the peace Jesus came to bring is about healing brokenness, about restoring wholeness, about bringing completeness to those who are incomplete. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to bring us peace. So in light of all that, we've got to ask ourselves, how is this peace applied to our life? I mean, you're looking at this and going, okay, how can I have that for myself? How does the peace of God that Jesus brings make our lives more complete? How does the gift of peace change us, heal us, bind up our brokenness? In the rest of our time together this morning, that's what we want to unpack. I'm going to share four ways that this peace brings completeness and wholeness to not only our lives, but our relationships. In Jesus, God gives us the gift of peace. And first of all, Jesus came to bring peace with God. Jesus came to bring peace with God. As Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 tells us, Jesus brought reconciliation. He made peace when he went to the cross. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That's why Jesus died. He died to make peace. In order to understand this first aspect of peace, we have to come to grips with the state of our relationship with God apart from Jesus. God loves us, but we are separated from him because of our sin. In fact, it would not be wrong to say that if Jesus came to bring peace, the reason he had to bring peace was because we are at war with God. I mean, you don't have peace unless you got war, right? Peace brings an end to war. That's what Jesus came to do. The state that existed between us and God apart from Jesus is war. This is probably, in fact, I would say, I'm not hesitating to say, this is the greatest warfare that is going on in our world. You know, the stuff that's going on in Iraq or in Afghanistan or in other places in the world is nothing. In Syria is nothing compared to really the state of war that exists in every human heart against God. At least every human heart that's not in relationship with Jesus Christ. People don't see it that way. That's a foreign concept nowadays, but they don't recognize the incredible problem that they face. But thankfully, God was not content, to leave this state of war this way. It wasn't like he was going, well, those guys rejected me, they want nothing to do with me, I'm going to go find another planet to create people on. He solved this problem. He sent Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross in our place, and he paid the price for our sins, and he bore the wrath of God against our sins in his own body, and his righteousness was applied to our account. And in doing all of this, he justified us, it says, in the sight of God. He made us legally righteous in God's sight. And when we receive Jesus as Savior, the state of war between us and God is over. We're no longer in an antagonistic relationship with God. Rather, our relationship is now about peace. It's about wholeness. It's about reconciliation. As Paul notes so well in Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Once we realize that apart from Jesus, we are at war with God, the peace Paul speaks about seems ever so wonderful. I mean, God's anger toward our sin is satisfied in Jesus. We are reconciled, we are justified, we are forgiven, and we are at peace. And it's not a peace we deserve. It's not a peace that we can earn. We deserve death. We deserve eternal punishment. We deserve eternal separation from God. But because of God's great love, because of God's abundant overflowing grace, because of God's faithfulness new every morning, he provided a way for us to be brought into relationship with him. His justice having been fulfilled in Jesus, God can pour out the gift of reconciliation in our lives. So the first way that peace applies to us is in our relationship with God. Friends, are you at peace with God today? Or is there still a state of war in your life? Are you alienated from God by your sins, or has God reconciled himself to you in Jesus? If you're not sure of the answers to those questions, we would love to encourage you after the service. At the end of the service, we're going to have prayer teams available up front here for anyone who needs prayer. And if you're not sure of where you stand with God regarding this peace with God, I know our prayer teams would love to spend some time with you. In Jesus, God gives us the gift of peace. First, in Jesus, we have peace with God. Second, Jesus came to bring peace from God. So first, Jesus came to bring peace with God. Now, Jesus came to bring peace from God. Once we're at peace with God, we can experience peace from God. Jesus came to offer us a personal, internal peace that calms our heart in the face of the storms of life. There was a story of a man who sought the perfect picture of peace. He wanted to find the perfect painting that kind of encapsulated peace. And not finding one that satisfied him, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. And the challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. And finally, the great day of revelation arrived, and the judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another while the viewers, you know, clapped and cheered and oohed and awed and all of that stuff. But the tension grew because, you know, there were less and less. They didn't know who the winners were. And only two pictures eventually remained veiled. And as a judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. This beautiful painting, a mirror-smooth lake, reflected glassy green birches under the soft blush of an evening sky. And on the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. And you know, you look at that and you go, oh, surely this is the winner. And finally, the man who held the contest uncovered the second painting himself. And the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Storm-gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning and with wind and with rain. In the midst of the thundering noises and the bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. And on one of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters, as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. And on that branch, a little bird had built a nest in the elbow. And content and undisturbed in her stormy surrounded, she rested on her eggs. And with her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. Friends, that's the kind of peace Christ came to bring to our hearts. A peace that offers calm in the midst of turmoil. A peace that offers trust in the midst of trouble. What did Jesus promise his disciples? John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. God promises us in his word that if we stay our minds on him, Isaiah 26, if we stay our minds on him, then on his power, on his grace, on his love, we will be kept, it says, in perfect peace. Why? Because The more we stay our minds on God, the more we will recognize that He is trustworthy. The more we will recognize that if He can take care of the birds of the air and the grass of the field, He can surely take care of us. The more we stay our minds on Him, the more we recognize that God never loses sight on us, of us. We are never out of His care. His love, His grace are inexhaustible gifts to us. Sure, so if you don't have personal internal peace right now, what you want to do is you want to look at God. Can God handle those difficult finances you have? It's a rhetorical question. Sure He can. Can God be trusted in your relationships? Can God care for you in the midst of ill health? Can God lead you through the maze of friendships and job responsibilities? Can God transform your sinful heart? I think the answer is yes to every one of those things. He, anything you are stressed about, God can handle. He is faithful. He is gracious. He can offer peace to those whose mind is stayed on Him. As well, the Apostle Paul teaches us, do not be anxious about anything. Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Lay those worries, those stressful situations, those times of brokenness before the throne of God. Give them to Him. Trust Him with Him. And what happens? What's the rest of the verse? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is going on here? The peace of God, it transcends all understanding. In other words, a peace that, humanly speaking, should not be there. In the middle of the trouble and the turmoil of life, you should not have peace. And God says, I can give you peace in that. I can give you peace there. And that peace guards our hearts and minds, it says, in Christ Jesus. In other words, lay our worries before God. Trust His all-powerful, gracious, loving, faithful God with these things. And God's peace is going to set up a guard around your heart and your mind, soothing your spirit, calming your mind in the midst of whatever earthly worry you have. God can handle it. That's a promise. In Jesus, God gives us the gift of peace. Jesus came first to bring peace with God. Jesus came to bring peace from God. Third, Jesus came to bring peace with others. Jesus came to bring peace with others. As someone who is at peace with God and someone who has experienced peace from God, we are people who are equipped to pursue peace with others. The biblical word for this is a peacemaker. I love what John Stott wrote. He says, God is a peacemaker. Jesus Christ is a peacemaker. So if we want to be God's children, Christ's disciples, we must be peacemakers too. I agree, 100%. As Christians, it is not only our privilege to have peace, but it is our privilege also to make peace. After all, I mean, what did Jesus say? Blessed, what, are the peacemakers? For they shall be called sons of God. When we pursue peace, whether in our relationships or in helping others reconcile their relationships, we demonstrate our identification as people belonging to God. Now, I know peacemaking is hard. It takes effort. Sometimes we have to swallow our pride to take the first step. Sometimes we have to swallow our pride to say, okay, yeah, I blew it. Can you forgive me? We have to take that first step. We have to approach people in humility. We have to admit our part in the conflict. As Scripture says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, Paul wrote, live peaceably with all. Paul recognizes here that we will not be able to make peace in every situation, but we should try in every situation. There are going to be people that rebuff our efforts. There will be people who reject the humble approach. There will be people who scorn our request for forgiveness. It will happen, but it is also what God calls us to do. As we demonstrate that we belong to Him, we are to try, as far as it depends on us, to make peace with others around us. So you got to ask yourself, is there anyone that you need to make things right with? Do you have friends who are in conflict with one another? Are you dreading Christmas because you know Christmas brings out conflict in your relationships, in your families? It's time to turn that around. It's time to humble yourself before God. It's time to seek His wisdom in pursuing peace and humbly, prayerfully seek to be a peacemaker. You're not going to be able to do it on your own, but you're going to be able to do it in His strength. Maybe you can learn from Deacon Brown. I love this little story. Smith and Jones were on the outs over a very trivial matter. This deeply concerned Deacon Brown, so he prayed that he might be a peacemaker. And so he called on Smith one day and he said, "What do you think of Jones? He's the meanest crank in the neighborhood. But you have to admit he's very kind to his family." "Oh, sure, he's kind to his family. No one can deny that." The next day, Brown went to Jones. Inquired, "You know what Smith said about you? I can't imagine how that scamp would lie about me." "Well, this may surprise you, but he said that you are very kind to your family." "What? Did Smith say that?" "Yes, he did." "Well, if you hadn't told me, I wouldn't believe it." "Well, what do you think of Smith?" asked Deacon Brown. "Truthfully, I think he's a low-down scallywag. But you have to admit he's very honest to his business." "Yes, there's no getting around that. In business, he is a man you can trust." The next day, Brother Brown called on Smith again. "You know what Jones said about you? He claims you're a fellow that you can really trust in business and that you're scrupulously honest." "You mean it?" "Yes, I do," said Brown. "Well, of all things," replied Smith with a happy smile. The next Sunday, the former enemies actually nodded to each other. Brown continued his quote-unquote meddling until the next annual business meeting of the church when Smith and Jones shook hands and actually finally voted on the same side. Friends, Jesus came to bring peace with others. What is your role as a peacemaker in your relationships and in the relationships of those you know and love? Has God called you to reflect His character, to show yourself, your identity in Christ by being someone who brings peace to their life? In Jesus, God gives us the gift of peace. Jesus came to bring peace with God, peace from God, peace with others, and finally this morning, Jesus came to bring peace for others. Jesus came to bring peace for others. The only way for people to have peace with God, peace from God, peace with others, is for people like us to tell them about the gospel of peace. The good news of Jesus Christ is indeed the gospel of peace. You know, listen to how Paul describes it in Acts chapter 14. Oh, I skipped forward there. "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all." Paul encapsulated his message as the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, he's writing to the Ephesians, says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet," he says, "having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." What's he saying there? As part of the armor of God, our feet are to be fitted with shoes that make us ready and able to share the gospel of peace. Just as the shepherds hurried off to tell the good news to all who listened, so we must share peace with others as well. A few years back, there was a survey taken of people who did not typically go to church. And 82% of people without a church said they would attend church if invited and escorted by a friend. 82%. That's really, really good news, folks. But, you know, when you have good news, you always have bad news, too. In a typical year, only 20% of church-going Christians invited someone to church. That's the problem. Friends, you have people in your life who need to hear the gospel of peace. They need to hear how Jesus died on the cross to make peace with us and God. They need to hear how God can offer them peace in the midst of life's turmoils and troubles. They need to hear that there is hope for those relationships in their lives that are filled with conflict. And they need to hear these things, and you as their relative or friend or neighbor can help them. Maybe you're confident enough to share those things with them. Maybe you can invite them here and sit with them and make them feel welcome, because this is a place hopefully they will be able to hear about that gospel of peace in a song, from the pulpit, from somebody else. Friends, we all have our Christmas lists. My children make sure Miriam and I have theirs every year. And their list of what they want for Christmas. I think anybody who has kids can relate to that. Nothing wrong with that. But in this season of giving and receiving, let's make sure that we are pursuing the things that Jesus came to earth to give us. He came to give us a joy that can fill our lives. And he came to give us peace. A peace that inhabits every aspect of our life. Peace brings us into a walk with God. Peace guards our hearts in times of trouble. Peace equips us to reconcile with others. And peace is something we share because other people need the peace that God has blessed us with. Let me end with the words of David from Psalm 34. He says, "Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Friends, in Jesus, God gives us the gift of peace. May we be people who seek out God's gift and pursue it, enabling it to invade and change every part of our lives. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. We're going to sing another Christmas carol as we close this morning, and then you will be dismissed. Thanks. This is a wonderful song of expectation. Come thou, long expected Jesus. And it's a song I can imagine kind of the Jews singing, you know, Messiah, come. We look back 2,000 years, we know what Jesus did. Jesus came, we know what he did, and we can rejoice that all of that waiting is over. That the freedom and the forgiveness and the strength and the consolation and everything Jesus came to bring and the peace that Jesus came to bring is ours. So let's stand, we'll sing both verses, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free from our fears and sins, release us.
Father, we are so in awe that you sent your Son. thankful does not encapsulate the amazing wonders that Jesus came to bring. And as we reflect on the words of the angels, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Lord, I pray that the peace that your Son came to bring, the gift that you gave us that first Christmas of peace, may reside in our lives, that it may be a reality. That if we don't know you, that you would draw us to you so that we can experience peace between us and you. That your peace would inhabit our hearts in the trouble of life. That your peace would be something that we live out in our relationships and that we pass on to those around us. One of the best gifts of Christmas I can imagine. And so, Lord, ignite our hearts with those things. Focus our thoughts. May we seek you and the peace that you offer us in your Son, Jesus. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.